So I wanted to talk about, well, deformation quantization of shifted Poisson structures, which seems like an appropriate thing to talk about at this conference. As a first thing, I want to recall some things about deformation quantization. So what is deformation quantization? Well, in its most classical form, you start with some Poisson algebra. And the idea is to somehow deform it in a way compatible with the Poisson structure to an associative algebra. So typically the algebra A is the algebra of functions on some Poisson manifold or maybe a symplectic manifold. Let me make a few remarks about that. Well, first of all, we want to generalize this a little bit generalize, even in this situation, it's a good idea to generalize it so that allow A to be a homotopy Poisson algebra. So the reason to do that has less to do with wanting to a more general theory, but it has some real practical benefits to allow this, which is that it will fit, in some sense, we'll see shortly, that that this is a kind of one-dimensional theory, and that to go beyond that, one really has no choice but to allow homotopical algebras. So as a first thing, one might ask how to extend the classical theory to allow homotopy Poisson algebras. And here, let me make a remark, which is that, so what is a Poisson algebra anyway? So when you learn about Poisson algebras, you've probably learned that you start with a commutative algebra, and then you take a first order deformation of it as an associative algebra, and that gives a Poisson algebra. This is more or less what a Poisson algebra is in the usual sense, except that this doesn't work at all for homotopy Poisson algebras. You can start with a homotopy commutative algebra, and you can take a first order deformation of it as an homotopy associative algebra, and this by no means gives you a homotopy Poisson algebra. So what's going on here? So how do you even formulate this? So the first thing one must do is more carefully even formulate this problem of what this really means. And so the point is that one reasonable way of thinking about this is in terms of the theory of operands. So associative algebras, so a homotopy associative algebra, this is, let me call it an E1 algebra. So there's an, well, maybe homotopy E1 algebra. I'll very quickly suppress the word homotopy. So the idea is that there's an operand governing associative algebras, sometimes called the E1 operand, which is the operand of configurations of points on the real line, is one way of expressing this. So this is what we want to deform it to. And the point is, well, there's also an operand governing Poisson algebras, so Poisson algebra is equal to let me call it P1 algebra. We've already seen these EN and PN operands, I think, in Tony's talk earlier in the week.
Is that a homotopy Poisson algebra?
Oh, yeah, so a homotopy, well, as stated, this is literally true as well, and I can put a homotopy in front of everything. But from now on, everything will be up to homotopy, and I'll suppress the word homotopy. It will be understood by default. Everything is derived and homotopical. So the way to understand, one way to understand this procedure is that the E1 operand has a filtration such that the associated graded is the Poisson operator. This is really the thing that relates. And one can form the corresponding Riess operator. So just apply the Riess construction. Whenever you have anything graded, you can build a thing over the polynomial ring or the power series ring. And let me call it BD1 over, I don't know. So we'll be working over a field K. I guess I should say, so there'll be some base field K. And the only thing that I want about K is that it is characteristic zero. In other words, Q is a subring of K. So maybe let me write it like this. Power series in H bar. And this has an explicit, this is not a mysterious thing. It has an explicit description in terms of generators and relations. So this is due to Ed Siegel. So the generators and relations, well, it has a commutative product. So these are binary, so it's generated by binary operations. Whoa. All right. Is everybody alive?
Yeah.
Good? Ah, okay. So it's got two binary operations, a commutative product. So that comes with some relations, the fact that it's a commutative product. It's got a Lie bracket, or a Poisson bracket. And it has the relation that A times B minus B times, like dot plus minus dot, I don't know what a good notation for that when you apply the operation, the opposite operation of multiplication. In other words, you do it in the other order. Oh, whoops, I'm sorry. I said commutative, I meant associative. It's an associative product. When you do the multiplication in the other order, then this is equal to H times doing the bracket. This is the other relation in this operator. And so when we set H equal to zero, well, this gives an associative product and a Lie bracket. I guess I should say there's a Leibniz identity also. So
what is homotopy about
all of this? So here there's nothing homotopy. This is just an operad, but you can study homotopy algebras over this operad. So this is just an ordinary operad so far. In a minute we'll have E1 is not a homotopy operad either. It's just the associative operad, right? So it's got, if you express it as a symmetric operad, in each degree, it's the regular representation of the symmetric group for each set of operations. But anyway, the point is, once you have this operad, you can study homotopy algebras over this operad, and that's exactly the passage from Poisson algebras to associative algebras, is algebras over this operad. And that you can make sense of in the up to homotopy. But anyway, so this is how I want to regard, this is how I want to think about deformation quantization, is as, now there's a well-defined problem. If you have a homotopy E1 algebra, then you can try to upgrade it to a homotopy BD1 algebra, such that when you quotient by H, you recover the original thing. So this is the, so it's the thing that lets you talk about deformation quantization in the commutative sense. So the second example of deformation quantization, this is taking a while, is BV quantization. So we can start. That sounds ominous. Is
Somebody doesn't like this idea.
Somebody really doesn't like DV quantization here, which is strange, because of all places, I think people would really like DV quantization here. But anyhow, so it's a similar thing where you try to deform a P0 algebra. I'll say what it into an E0 algebra. So this looks a bit strange. So the E0 operad is configurations of points in R0. So R0 is just one point. So E0 algebras is just vector spaces or chain complexes together with a vector. P0 algebra, well, this has a commutative product, and this has a Poisson bracket of cohomological degree 1. So it looks strange, but so E0 has a filtration. Such that the associated graded is P0. So this might look strange. So let me tell you what this is. So the idea is, well, P0 is generated by a commutative product in cohomological degree 0, and it's got a Lie bracket in degree 1, so this is the P0 operad. So the way we can deform it to build the E0 operad, so the E0 operad is just contractible. It's only got the unit, and everything else is contractible. Well, the way we can deform it is we can add a differential, is we can require that the differential, it's now going to be a differential graded operad. If we set the differential of the product to be the Lie bracket, this basically makes this operad acyclic. So anytime you have a chain complex, there's a corresponding filtration, which is the stupid filtration. And so with this differential, this becomes the E0 operad. And in this presentation, the stupid filtration for this operad is exactly the one such that the associated graded, well, what does associated graded mean? It means setting the differential to 0 gives the P0 operad. OK, and there's also a Riesz version of this operad. Riesz construction gives the BD0 operad. So you just put an H bar, H in front of the differential, and that gives the BD0 operad. And so the point is, well, similarly, there's a reasonable question of asking.
Your H times the bracket.
What's that?
Is it H times the D or H times the
Lie
bracket?
It's H times the D. So the relation is that it's an operad over K adjoint H, such that generated by the product and the Lie bracket, such that D of the product is H times the Lie bracket. So.
Can I ask something stupid? But normally, I think about the filtered object as a complicated thing and the associated graded as a simple thing.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that if you just gave me the E0 algebra, which is just one point,
yeah,
there is no, I mean, this is extra, the filtration is extra data. Of course, it's how it should be.
Yeah, well.
But only in a specific presentation of the E0 algebra.
I think, yeah, well, that specific presentation in this case is equivalent to that data of the filtration. And, so it's one point of difference between the homotopical world and the, you know, more strict things, that you can have a filtered thing where, for instance, the vector space 0 has non-trivial homotopical filtrations such that the associated graded is something very complicated.
Is there any classification of operads that you can get as associated gradeds of the E0 operad? For example, is the answer not all of them, or?
The answer is certainly not all of them. You have to, so you have to, so one way of obtaining the E0 operad is starting with any operad and multiplying it by its Kozul dual. There's a canonical Maurer-Cartan element in there that deforms this to the E0 operad. So E0 is a unit for a certain tensor structure on operads. I don't know if those are all of them, though. But that's a nice class of examples. So in this case, it's Kamm and Lie. that one is applying this construction to. So if you just think about the relationship of the commutative operad and the Lie operad, then there's a so this gives a well-defined problem of quantizing a P0 algebra to an E0 algebra. So this is what one should reasonably call BV quantization.
Is it the minus one shifted case?
This is the minus one shifted case, yes. I'll get to that shortly, I hope. So the point is, what did I want to say about it? So somehow from the point of view of physics, this is the most interesting example of deformation quantization. For instance, there's a reasonable case to be made that the formalism of Feynman diagrams is what, this is one way of interpreting what this diagrammatic Feynman calculus does for you. So far these look nothing like each other, right? We had some strange filtration on E1, maybe a pretty natural one, a much stranger filtration on E0. So more generally, we can take the notation should be suggestive. We can deform. We quantize. PN algebras to EN algebras. So this is the same as appeared in Tony's talk. I want to emphasize that this is a little bit different than the quantization that was for minus one shifted symplectic things that was considered in Tony's talk. But so for n bigger than or equal to 2, PN, let me say it like this. Also, EN has a filter, canonical filtration such that the associated graded is PN. But in this case, the filtration is much easier to say. It's completely canonical. It's the Posnikov filtration. So that's just, a fancy way of saying that for n bigger than or equal to 2, the PN operad is the homology of the EN operad. But anyway, so for all n starting at 0, there's some filtration on EN that such that the associated graded is PN. So at least the problem is well defined. So the thing that I want to emphasize is that in these three situations, they look quite a bit different. So here there was, in deformation quantization, it had to do with asking for the associative product, the commutator, to be given by the Lie bracket. In the P0, it was even stranger. You were deforming something commutative to just a vector space. And here it's just the Posnikov filtration. And somehow the point is that these really are the same in some sense. All these, yeah.
This is to do with n minus one shifted.
Yeah, so this has to do, so.
So it's getting more and more stacking.
It's getting more and more, well, yeah. I mean, so far I want to talk, so in my talk, everything will be for algebras. As was explained in Tony's talk, if you're interested in quantizing n-shifted symplectic or n-shifted Poisson things, even not in the non-affine situation, that reduces to the case of algebras, it's just algebras in some strange category. So this will be a statement about these kinds of, everything I say will be a statement about algebras in any category where these kinds of algebras make sense. So in particular, it applies to that situation. So I guess the remark here is, so this has to do with, this is deformation quantization. Quantization of n-shifted Poisson stacks. So this is the problem of. Oh, whoops. Thank you. So there is a disagreement of indexing. So from my point of view, it's a little better to index with these n's, because as we'll see, this corresponds to, from the point of view of field theory, this index, not this one, corresponds to the dimension of the field theory. So associative algebras give something like a one-dimensional field theory, P0 algebras give zero-dimensional field theories, and EN algebras give n-dimensional field theories. Yeah, did you hear that?
N minus 1 is a positive number?
Oh, n minus 1 is a positive number. Not necessarily. It could be minus 1.
It's better.
But...
Okay.
So nothing I...
N is a large number. Okay.
So n has to be at least 0.
Is there a good answer about what to do about minus 2 shifted and so on?
Not from this point of view. I mean, there is no such thing, or I know no reasonable thing that one could call the E minus 1 operad. And in fact, one doesn't expect to have such a thing, because now for minus 2 shifted things, you expect not some kind of vector space with additional structure, but you expect a vector in some vector space. And that's not a kind of an operadic thing.
So is there a good P minus 1 operad?
There is a P minus anything operad. That makes perfect sense. And the algebra functions on an n minus 1 shifted Poisson for any n whatsoever is going to be a PN algebra. So that's certainly true. That's more or less the definition of what an n minus 1 shifted Poisson stack is when you assign careful meaning to all of these words.
The theory appears to be telling you that quantization of n shifted things to n less than minus 1 is not a good thing to do.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. I think minus 2 shifted symplectic things is a good thing to do, but this is not the right approach to that problem.
BG
is 2 shifted. BG is okay from this point of view. So the moduli of G bundles, let's say, on a Calabi-Yau fourfold. So those are interesting things, and this is an interesting question. But one needs a different approach, and well, I'm happy to say something privately about that, but not for the purposes of this talk. So I guess, what am I doing on time? Oh boy. So I guess I wanted to point out a fourth thing, which is, I don't think I'll have any time to say about it, but I'll mention that this fits into the story nicely, is that there's a theory of Poisson vertex algebras. And you can ask to quantize them to vertex algebras. And I'll make some remarks about how the story I'm... This does not fit into the CPTVV story of shifted Poisson structures, but it does naturally fit into this story as well. So this is like looking at symplectic and Poisson structures on something like loop spaces. And well, in particular, if I get to it, I'll say something about what one might mean by a shifted Poisson structure on loop spaces. All right, so the thing that I wanted to explain is how all of these are really the same problem, not just seemingly different, looks quite different, but really they all end up being the same in some sense. And they're not just analogous, they're really in some sense the same. But I guess maybe before that, I wanted to, maybe another bit of motivation. So if X is an, n minus 1 shifted symplectic stack, and M is, let's say, an M-dimensional, maybe compact-oriented manifold, than the mapping stack. So as I said in the beginning, everything is by default derived. So I'm not going to write an R in front of maps, but everything should be understood in the derived sense. So the mapping stack from M to X is N minus M minus 1 shifted symplectic. So these mapping stacks I'll say should assemble into a topological field theory. By which I mean a functor from maybe board N oriented to some symplectic N category. But see, the point is that it's given by this construction of taking mapping stacks. I don't want to say exactly what this is, and it doesn't much matter, except to point out that so under this correspondence, the point will just go, well, the mapping stack from a point is just this manifold M.
X.
Oh, whoops, X. Thank you. Is just this manifold X. And so there's a different point of view. There's a nice point of view on topological field theories, which is the Kabordism hypothesis. And what the Kabordism hypothesis says that the field theory is determined by its value at a point. So one might hope that deformation quantization, so this is some kind of a classical or a semi-classical field theory that one obtains from a shifted symplectic stack. But what one might hope is that, well, if the field theory is determined by its value at a point and we want to quantize, well, that should also be determined by a point. So that in particular, the quantum theory should be determined by just the quantization of X. So in particular, quantization of X should automatically give quantizations of all these mapping stacks from M to X. For all M. So in other words, we can try to solve, what we should really do is try to solve not just the problem of quantizing X. Well, the problem that we're really solving is quantizing all of these in a coherent way simultaneously. And so,
do you know what the quantum symbol of N category of Morita is?
Yes, it's some version of the Morita category. I can be more explicit about that, but I think for the purposes of time, I don't want to say anything more about it now. But I mean, it's the kind of thing where you have where objects are something are some version of N categories. Morphisms are correspondences between N categories, and so on, up to the final level where it's functors and natural transformations between functors. That's sort of, well, in the affine case, it's a little easier to say it's the EN Morita, it's the Morita category for EN algebras, Morita N category. All right, so one of the goals is also to implement this quantization starting from a quantization of M. And so, well, let me state the theorem, which I think encapsulates a lot of what's going on, well, it's another maybe bit of motivation. Let me state a theorem of Dunn. So this is a theorem from algebraic topology. It says that, well, there's a kind of tensor product on operads, which is you can take an operad and you can look at algebras over an operad. And in good cases, this also forms a symmetric monoidal category. So you can look at algebras for a different operad than that. And it turns out that this can be described as algebras for some third operad that you build out of these two. This is called the Boardman-Vogg tensor product. And so in particular, you can do this for these EN algebras. So the statement is, well, there's some tensor product. So this is the statement of Dunn's additivity theorem, which is that if you look at EN algebras inside the category of EM algebras, that's the same thing as just in the base category looking at EN plus M algebras. I guess if anybody is worried about the difference between operads and algebras, this is an equivalent statement when phrased appropriately. So the the main theorem I want to talk about is sort of an enhancement of this theorem, which does all the things I promised, which is that we can replace here some of the E's by BDs. In other words, that this additivity theorem is compatible with filtration. So that EN star VDM is BD N plus M. So in other words, if you have a, for instance, so I guess as a corollary, just by modding out by H bar, and well, I guess it's not truly a corollary because I make the statement for all N, even negative ones, that EN algebras and PM algebras are the same thing as PN plus M algebras. So this is all N bigger than or equal to 0, M and Z. So maybe it's not quite a corollary, but also a true statement. So let me say an example. One example of this is that, well, we can phrase, for instance, the problem of ordinary deformation quantization in terms of BV quantization. So if A is an associative algebra, then, well, we can regard A as a P, as an E1 algebra in P0 algebras. So in other words, it's an associative algebra in P0 algebras, and quantizing it to an associative algebra, so quantization of A, what this is saying is that this is equivalent to quantization of A, to quantization of corresponding P0 algebra in, so as an E1 algebra.
Beginning with A was an associative algebra.
Oh, whoops. Awesome. Whoops. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you. So it's a Poisson algebra. So here's a kind of a different way of talking about what it means to deformation quantize A. So I guess I'm trying to make the case that this side is in some sense better. It doesn't look better yet, but there is a statement of this equivalence. So the way it's going to look better, the way to make this look better is to reinterpret these EN algebras in terms of geometry. So one advantage of all of this is that one could put, so there's nothing geometric about Poisson algebra, seemingly. Oh, but for these EN algebras, they come from geometry. Well, one indication of that is already the EN operad is the spaces or the configuration spaces of points in Rn. And so one can try, and so for these EN things, there's a rich theory that puts in manifold topology into the picture. The reason this is a good idea is because now one can use the theory of factorization algebras, which in a very natural way brings in geometry into the story. So bring in geometry. Using factorization algebras. Maybe let me not say too much about what factorization algebras are. So if I have a manifold or an algebraic variety, or even in more general situations, one can talk about factorization algebras. So there's a notion. Of factorization algebras on M. So let me tell you a few facts about it. So factorization, maybe I'll say something about it. So one way of thinking about it is one can build what's called the Rn space of M, which is a space or a pre-stack in the algebraic context, which parameterizes finite non-empty subsets. Of M. And the idea is that a factorization algebra on M is a sheaf on the Rn space such that, so let's say if I take two different points, x and y, and maybe I'll put such that in quotes, it's extra data, let me call it A. So the idea is that, well, what you can do? Well, you can take x and y to be, and maybe distinct points. X and y you can think of as a two-point subset of M, so that's a point in the Rn space. So there's a fiber at this tuple. And what one is supposed to do is give coherent system of isomorphisms between this and the fiber at x tensored with the fiber at y. So this is a nice, maybe let me say it as a fact, is that with some adjectives, factorization algebras on Rn are the same thing as EN algebras. What's that?
Are they translation invariant?
They are translation invariant. That's part of the dot dot dot. I guess what I want to say is ones which are, a nice way to say it is ones that when you restrict to R, I want it to be a constructible sheaf on the Rn space with respect to the natural stratification by the number of points, such that I think that's all I want to say in this case, because everything else is automatic. So the upshot. So what is the upshot of this? Is that a PN algebra is the same. So the theory of PN algebras is equivalent to the theory of P0 algebras. P0 factorization algebras Sorry, let me get the adjectives in the right. Factorization, algebras of P0 algebras on R to the N. So now that one can rephrase the problem of quantization using the theorem of what I mentioned for a PN algebra, you can quantize it as a factorization algebra of P0 algebra. You can try to make it a factorization algebra of BD algebras. And what this theorem says is that such a thing is equivalent to quantizing this PN algebra to an EN algebra. That's one nice consequence. I was going to say something about what goes into the proof of this theorem. I guess maybe I'll mention that the only way I know how to prove these statements is using the theory of factorization algebras. So that seems to be an essential ingredient in the proof. There's sort of another way, there's an idea due to Balanz and Endernfeld that lets you express factorization algebras as certain kind of Lie algebras in a, for a certain strange tensor structure on sheaves. And one proves this kind of theorem playing with this kind of duality. It's a certain version of Kozul duality. All right, I still have a little bit of time. So I wanted to say, so one advantage of this kind of thing is that now, see, now that we've passed to factorization algebras, in addition to being able to prove such a statement, we can take not just Rn, but we can replace other things. We can take arbitrary, so we can consider arbitrary and dimensional manifolds, or even algebraic varieties. There's a parallel story that formally works the same way in the world of algebraic varieties. Maybe let me, I promised to say something about that. So maybe let me comment on the case of algebraic varieties. So while a theorem of Balanz and Endernfeld is that again with appropriate adjectives, maybe I'll say the right adjective. So in this case, it really is translation invariant. Factorization algebras on A1. So as an algebraic curve, there's an equivalence between translation invariant factorization algebras on A1 with the theory of vertex algebras. So if you don't know or have always wondered what those funny formulas mean in the definition of vertex algebras, one nice way of phrasing this is as factorization algebras in this algebra geometric sense on an algebraic curve. And again, the advantage is that one can remove these adjectives translation invariant, and one can, starting with a vertex algebra, one can consider it as a factorization algebra on any algebraic curve, at least in good cases. And this is what's responsible for giving correlation functions for two-dimensional conformal field theory. And so the theorem, there's a corresponding theorem that comes out of, well, it's really part of the proof of this theorem, factorization, so again, translation invariant factorization algebras, factorization P0 algebras on A1, there's an equivalence between this thing and Poisson vertex algebras. So if you've ever seen the definition of a Poisson vertex algebra, it, to my eyes at least, is even more complicated than the definition of a vertex algebra. But now there's a nice geometric description of it that one gets. And another consequence of this is that this, in some sense, solves the quantization problem for Poisson vertex algebras, because it says that, well, you just have to quantize this factorization algebra of P0 algebras. And so there's standard deformation obstruction theory from BV quantization that one gets. So this leads to a very general solution of this, solution in terms of deformation obstruction theory of the quantization problem for Poisson vertex algebras. Okay, so in the last few minutes, I want to return to this problem of mapping spaces. There was some AKZ in the title. So let me say what happens in that case. So the relation to AKZ and PTVV, so relation to mapping space stacks, so I'm running out of time, so I apologize. I'll only address the affine case. And the affinization of things, but with a bit more care, it's not so difficult to translate these statements into more stacky statements. So an important theorem of, not quite sure who to attribute this to, let me say Baylinson and Drinfeld, certainly the ideas are all there, is that if, suppose M is an n-dimensional manifold, and X is equal to the spectrum of A is an n minus 1 shifted, well, so we can take some affine thing, and we can form out of this, we can form, well, a commutative algebra is a particular example of an EN algebra. So we can let, I don't know, maybe F sub A be the the factorization algebra on M corresponding to A. So out of a commutative algebra, you can construct a factorization algebra on any manifold whatsoever. So then there's something called factorization homology. So at the level that I've defined it, this is just the cohomology over the Ron space of M of this, so of this factorization algebra. So you forget all the other structure, and you just remember the structure of it as a sheaf on the Ron space. Well, in this case, because A was commutative, this also has the structure of a commutative algebra. Oh, I guess it's not, in case it's not clear to anybody, by the cohomology, I really mean cochains, or something like that. Maybe R gamma. So this is the definition. So the theorem that Baylinson and Drinfeld prove is that this guy is isomorphic to the space of functions on the derived mapping stack. Maps from M into X. So it's sort of a remarkable local to global construction of the space of functions on a mapping stack.
What's the integral over
M? Integral over M, I'm sorry. Yes.
Should be maps from X to M.
Maps from M to X. I think this is okay. Oh, an integral over M, yes.
No, should be maps from X to M. Because M is
the...
Oh,
interesting.
No,
I think I got it right.
You got that one right, sorry.
That's all right, thank you. So, what do we learn from this? Well, see, if A... So far there was no symplectic or Poisson structure on X in this theorem. But if X is n minus 1 shifted, Poisson, this FA, well, it won't just be a factorization algebra. It turns out that in this case, it is a factorization algebra of Pn minus M algebras. This is essentially the content of this. Of this theorem, because well, I can regard it as an I can then regard A as an En algebra in Pn minus M algebra. So M here is the dimension of the manifold. So I can regard it as an En algebra in Pn minus M algebras, Em algebra. I'm not going to succeed with this convention, so I have to go back and change this to M. So I can regard the algebra of functions here as an EM algebra in Pn minus M algebras. This is what this theorem is telling me. So in particular, I get by this construction a factorization algebra of such things. So in particular. And if I have a factorization algebra of anything, the factorization homology will be that thing, of course. Integral of M of A is a Pm minus N algebra, N minus M. So this factorization homology is going to be, so this is a version, so this gives a kind of local to global version of this AKZ, local to global. AKZ, PTVV, construction. And as I said, I phrased it in terms of algebras. With a little bit more time and care, one can easily phrase it in terms of actual, when X is not affine, there's a corresponding statement, and one sort of has to work relatively. So that's nice. Now, another nice consequence is that this construction is actually compatible with quantization. That's a good eraser. So. So quantizing, I guess corollary, I don't know. Quantizing A, in this case, 2n, 2a BDN algebra gives a quantization of this factorization homology BD n minus m algebra. So again, you can think of it, if you make A a BDN algebra, you can think of that as an EM algebra in BD n minus m algebras, and then apply this whole machine, and outputs a BD n minus m algebra, and because of all of this compatibility, this is exactly a quantization of, maybe let me, quantizing A to a BD algebra, maybe let me call it A tilde to distinguish a quantization. So we get a quantization of that. So I guess let me say, I've talked about EN and BDN algebras. This works just as well in this kind of holomorphic setting of Poisson vertex algebras and such. And these give interesting theories a lot of the time. Maybe out of time, maybe I will make a slightly cryptic remark, is that if X is some stack, then quantizations, we can take the odd cotangent bundle of X. This is a minus one shifted symplectic thing, so this is a P0 thing. These are the same as, I'll put a superscript gr. This means that GM equivariant quantizations, these are the same as, well, projective volume forms, holomorphic volume forms. On X, so this often gives interesting, these volume forms in many cases give interesting invariants. And one way of obtaining such things is via this kind of construction. You can try to quantize this kind of thing by expressing this as some kind of mapping stack. So maybe X is some kind of mapping stack. If X is some kind of mapping stack, then the odd cotangent bundle will be the mapping stack from X to the appropriately shifted cotangent bundle of the target. And then quantizing that could produce holomorphic volume forms. So there is going to be a similar story for more general minus one shifted symplectic things that I don't quite want to say, but already. So these are often interesting. I'll just make the remark that these are often interesting. What's that? A holomorphic volume form? Oh, I mean a section of the dualizing complex. Well, projective one, anyway. E.g., can get things like the Todd genus, the Witten genus this way, maybe the B-model operations. Etc. So this is not an idle procedure. One can really get interesting type invariants out of playing these kinds of games. All right, I'm out of time, so I'll stop here. Thank you.
I'm just curious about this quantae. keywords. I mean, there are lots of like explicit schemes for quantization. If one was to make this explicit, would it give a new one or one of the old ones?
This does give a different looking answer, at least. It's not, I mean, in practice, one can identify these things, but, a lot of times what happens is somehow, if you look at the problem of deformation quantization, the BV case is the most difficult one. So somehow from some point of view. So a lot of times, you know, if your thing comes from a symplectic manifold, maybe you can apply something like Fedosov quantization, which is a much simpler quantization scheme. And in particular, you would obtain a quantization in this sense, and then you can apply this whole machinery to quantize all sorts of interesting minus one shifted symplectic things that you derive from that. So this is typically how it goes, is that you have something higher dimensional, maybe for geometric reasons, you know how to quantize that. And to quantize is just, you know, it's a completely abstract thing. You just have to exhibit the BD algebra. How you do it is up to you. I mean, one way of doing there's a formal way to do it via some kind of deformation obstruction theory. But in good cases, there are kind of geometric considerations that let you bypass working through the deformation obstruction theory. And in this case, you sort of formally can get kind of for free quantization of all sorts of related objects. And that's sort of a very fruitful game to play.
So you said that if X is, if you have a quantization of X, then you should be able to get quantization of maps and then to X if N is a compact manifold.
Yeah.
Can we quantize maps and then to X if N is now Calabi Yau?
Yes. Oh, well, ish. Oh.
This would be the algebra.
So this would be the algebra geometric version. What it means to quantize X in the algebra geometric version is a little bit different. So here's what it would mean. So M is of some dimension. So the factorization, the local problem of quantization isn't quantizing X as a to an EN thing or something like that. This is no longer a topological question. But you can look at a loop space, an n-dimensional loop space, for such a thing, and this will have this kind of structure. It will be something, some higher dimensional version of a vertex algebra, and quantizing that would certainly quantize. This would be the local problem that if you solved it, this would automatically give quantizations of these Donaldson-Thomas moduli spaces.
But do we know that it's higher dimensional than the Radloff spaces?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It's defined in a paper of Francis and Gatesgory. That's one answer. And that's the answer that's relevant for this story. So everything I said works in that setting.
What was the question?
What is a higher dimensional version of a vertex algebra? So it's a factorization algebra on a higher dimensional variety.
So if we knew how to quantize perf,
yes.
Would we also know how to quantize map from N into perf at any Calabi Yau of any dimension?
Unfortunately, this doesn't.
This doesn't work. So the answer is yes, except quantize in the sense that I said of looping at higher loop spaces. The problem is that there's an obstruction to doing this. So there are versions of quantizations. So for instance, if you wanted to get something like vanishing cycles, in the minus one shifted case, this is not the same. This is closely related to, but not the same as this kind of quantization. The relevant thing is a kind of twisted version of that. And I don't know, it might be possible to quantize perf in this kind of twisted sense. So maybe.
Okay, same thing again.